right, welcome back for the Connor Happer Show. You're on 1620 The Zone and on 1620thezone.com. Connor Happer, Josh Hodson with you live from Oscar's Pizza and Sports Grill. That is 173rd and Center. Getting everything cooked up, ready for lunch. $7 burgers until 3 for everyone out there. Just a little heads up to you all. Also, delicious pizza and wings all the time. That should be a – they should have mentioned that in the specials. Like, also, we have delicious wings and pizza.
Everything we do is special.
Yes, that's exactly right. And if you're part of the dinner crowd, $3 margaritas and Mexican beers and $2 tacos starting at 5 o'clock. Got some news this morning. Gary mentioned in the crossover there was some consternation about Nebraska and Creighton and when they will play basketball this upcoming season. And it was originally scheduled to be on the same day as the Wisconsin football game, Nebraska versus Wisconsin football game, which is a home game this year for Nebraska and might have some stakes to it toward the end of the year, second to last week of the regular season in football, which is odd. We hadn't seen that before. Mm-hmm. I don't know that we've seen this in a while either. The game has changed, and it will now be on Friday night in Omaha. So this is one of those situations, and maybe the media people wouldn't, or maybe the people who are going to the football game the next day wouldn't agree with me here, but Nebraska-Creighton Friday night, I kind of, you know, I'm not a proponent of super-duper late tip-offs, but I feel like if we go in the, you know, in the 8 o'clock Eight. Range mm-hmm. on this one, yeah. somewhere around that. Now, there'll be, they probably won't be much college football to contend with on a Friday night.
Certainly not anything marquee, maybe a rando Purdue Northwestern game or something.
But, you know, the Big Ten doesn't necessarily like to do night games
in November.
Anything off Saturdays. So they'd probably rather play in the morning. We'll get a better feel for that as we go on throughout the spring and into the summer. But I may be a proponent. I don't know what's gotten into me lately, Josh. I may be a proponent of a mega late tip-off for this game. You know, 8, 9, somewhere around there.
Are you saying you want this game to be nasty?
I am. I love that game, and I don't know. It's a great event, and it starts the conversation every year. It'll be sort of a shame that it gets lost in the football wash this year, but fired up on a Friday night, tip it off at 8:15 or something like that, and get that thing nice and nasty.
Friday night's a good night for basketball.
Exactly, that's how the song goes. So that'll be really fun in a definitely different environment than your Sunday afternoon in December or your. We were Sunday afternoon last year, I think. It's been Saturday in the past. It's been Tuesday in the past.
Don't do that thing at 6. I don't want people having to
just rush their way into it.
Yeah.
Let's go late. Now, you know, they're only in control of so much because it's a TV deal.
Sure.
Also, with Creighton's basketball scheduling, the Big East Big 12 battle, we knew that Creighton was getting Kansas in this, and they will at home.
We know any other games in that?
We do.
Okay.
We know many of them.
There's some good ones.
Yeah, so we have...
who's UConn getting?
So
Baylor?
December 4th is the date for Creighton in Kansas, which will be a
Jay-Z's
Wednesday
birthday.
Night. Jay-Z's birthday? Mm-hmm. Is that right?
That's right.
Wow.
Sean Carter was born on December
4th. We'll all be
4th.
Celebrating Jay-Z on the same day that Baylor and UConn will play.
Oh, okay.
DePaul and Texas Tech will play. Marquette and Iowa State will play. It's a fun little matchup there.
Yeah.
The night before is Cincinnati and Villanova, BYU and Providence. Once again, all these schools in the Big 12. Just wanted to...
If something hits the ear wrong, it's because it's a new Big 12 school.
And then
this
Friday...
This is not the American Conference Challenge.
That's right.
It's weird, but it feels like it is the American Conference Big East Challenge. If that was the case, then just do Creighton and Wichita State. Friday... would be Georgetown, West Virginia, Xavier, TCU, Saturday, K-State, St. John's, Butler, Houston, and then Sunday, Oklahoma State, and Seton Hall. That is your Big East, Big 12 challenge. Yes, we're into basketball scheduling news as well.
We give the people what they want.
For the Blue Jays. Let's go to baseball real quick. Creighton last night took down Coastal Carolina for the second night in a row. A walk-off in the 10th. They were once again down, you know, three runs in the game. Looked like, oh, boy, are they just going to, you know, what is it going to get out of control? There's been basically those moments in the last two nights for Creighton baseball where they get up to this, like, kind of breaking point, and then they make a play. And that's kind of what happened for Creighton baseball last night. As we mentioned yesterday, we'll talk about midweek baseball more with Michael Bruns coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. But, you know, Creighton's had a lot of success now in the midweek, and now they take Coastal Carolina two in a row from them at home. They use eight pitchers to do so. They're comfortable in the chaos. Obviously, it falls a little empty if you're not able to, you know, figure out a way to win some Big East games, especially starting this weekend against Georgetown. The Blue Jays, you tell me if this sounds like an NCAA tournament baseball team to you.
Okay.
Their RPI is currently 41.
That's good.
It's at large worthy, right? They are 26-4 out of conference at the moment.
Wow.
Now they're
That's
out of
very good.
Their out of conference schedule hasn't been great,
sure.
But it is anchored by ballooned by hot air ballooned by games against Nebraska and Creighton, of which they're going to get five. Nebraska and Coastal Carolina, of which they're going to get five during the year. 26-4 in the out of conference.
You know, Stanford didn't do their job.
So we talked about, you know, their non-conference strength of schedule and stuff like that. It's like, boy, they're in like the low 200s. They're just not playing anybody. You know, it's like, we got Coppin State who were beaten 30-0,
yeah.
And then, by the way, did you see that score of Columbia and Seton Hall yesterday?
No,
33-0 in seven innings. Columbia.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yes. They rallied around, you know, big problems at that school right now.
Not going to hurt the, not going to help the conference's RPI as far as the Big East is concerned. Anyway, but their Creighton's rather non-conference strength of schedule now is up to 139. Which, I mean, it's not good, but it's not
in
the 200s. That's
better than
for
sure. It was, yeah.
Their general strength of schedule is up to 154. Their non-conference RPI is up to 20. They've taken care of business there. And, you know, they're 30-9 at the moment. So it's a good baseball team. I think everybody's kind of agreed there, and we could stop the conversation on, you know, like, who cares, Nebraska, Creighton, like, this isn't important. I think you'll see. I mean, this sets up, and, you know, theoretically Creighton can grab a series this weekend, if not sweep it. You know, Georgetown's a halfway decent team this year. But you look ahead, and you're like, man, Tuesday is huge, kind of, you know, for both teams. They'll take it really, really seriously. We'll see what the weather looks like. Could we get another kind of old-school feeling third game, a little heat to it, importance? Mm-hmm. Between Nebraska and Creighton next Tuesday night. I'm looking forward to seeing what the energy is like.
Both teams need it. Nebraska can save a little face by picking one up. And, you know, both teams need every win they can get at this point.
No doubt about it. So that's Creighton baseball looking pretty good at the moment with a huge, huge win last night.
Connor, your mention of that blowout from last night, the Seton Hall game, it reminded me of this tweet I saw. Maryland Eastern Shore.
Yes,
did you see this?
Nick Grimm's favorite college baseball team.
Yes.
Yeah, 35 straight losses, currently 0-33 this year.
So they did lose yesterday.
And so 0-34.
They were tracking it very closely on the afternoon show yesterday. So they did. They had a lead at one point. They ended up losing.
Let's see. Let's double check.
If they're 0-34 or 0-35 or whatever it is that they had. Oh, that's tough.
0-35, yeah, they did lose.
Not fun.
No.
Now I would rather lose 33-0 in one game than go 0-35 for a period of 35 games. But that's just me.
Definitely.
Back to the scheduling thing as far as Nebraska and Creighton is concerned. Mason Daniel writes in on the YouTube page. You can comment along.
Hi, Daniel.
On YouTube at 1620 The Zone TV. But what about high school football?
Oh.
Don't have to contend with it.
Wow.
Don't have to contend with it. Unfortunately, the state championships will be earlier that week.
Oh, okay.
I think.
Yeah, because the next week is Thanksgiving after Nebraska-Creighton.
Oh, gosh. So, that might be semifinal Friday.
Mm.
No, because they'll take a week off. That'll either be the week off in between the semifinals and then like a Monday-Tuesday final the next week, Thanksgiving week, or it will be the finals will be that week. So,
Those tens of thousands of people that attend the local state football games here in town.
Everyone take a deep breath and thank the heavens that we do not have to contend with high school football in the area. Kevin says it is indeed the week off.
Thank you, Kevin.
Okay. All right. Whew. So that's – hey,
wow.
Look at that week. So Friday, the 22nd, Creighton and Nebraska basketball in Omaha. Saturday, the 23rd, Nebraska and Wisconsin football. Mm-hmm. The next Monday and Tuesday, state championships all day at Memorial Stadium.
And NFL Sunday in between there.
NFL Sunday in between there. Black Friday, Nebraska and Iowa football, all sorts of NFL.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving, Thursday, all sorts of NFL stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's setting up to be a nice little sports week. If you are the kind of guy, and I am, if you are the kind of guy who appreciates a nice smattering of different sports and not just like, I want to watch football all the time. Football is the only sport that exists. I love football, high school football, middle school football, NFL football, adult league football.
No, give me a UFL game, give me a Pee Wee game.
Give me a little basketball that's in there as well. So that'll be fun on a Friday night. And no, they will not have to contend with the high school football. That was probably somewhat of a joke, I think, from Amazing Daniel, but I thought we'd address it because it probably will come up in comments somewhere. Let's talk about the NFL draft here real quick. We'll dive into this more. Let's talk to Jacob Padilla in a couple of minutes, but let's get a little preview on the draft tonight from a big picture standpoint. We'll talk about Nebraska's sort of involvement or maybe lack of involvement in it a little bit later in the show. Do you have any bold takes? Because it feels like what's going to happen, according to basically every mock that I've seen, is basically what's happened every year is, well, first of all, I think this has roots back to Patrick Mahomes, right? It used to be the quarterbacks would kind of just be smattered throughout the first round, and I don't know, maybe a second rounder would edge out into that first round, and they'd say, okay, we'll take the guy there. It's a need, or it may be a need later. It's now gotten to the point because teams don't want to be the Bears, and they don't want to pass on Patrick Mahomes or trade up for Mitchell Trubisky or whatever it is, where we all decide – who the best two or three quarterbacks are, who the first-round draft quarterbacks are, and they are literally the first four picks of the draft, the first three picks of the draft. So what we have decided this year is that Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, and Drake May are those three guys, and they're going to go 1, 2, 3. That's basically every mock draft that I've seen so far.
Even though Jaden Daniels has said, I do not want to play in our nation's capital.
Yeah, and
they have said, you don't get a say in the matter, sir.
There was the whole thing with
your shower will work half the time.
And you will like it.
They have a decent owner now, I guess, or a better, hopefully a better owner.
He does seem like a good guy.
He seems like a good guy. The Bears will take Caleb Williams at number one, and Jaden Daniels, it seems like, They're punting on the Sam Howell experience already. Very sadly,
sad.
You know this. I'm a Sam Howell guy, as much as one guy can be a Sam Howell guy. I kind of am. And then the Patriots are going to take Drake May at three. Here's my take on that piece of it. First of all, like I said, I think it traces back. It has origins back to Patrick Mahomes because nobody wants to skip out on guys. I think there is we'll probably see this in the first 3, 4, 5 picks tonight. There's going to be a big trade. Somebody's going to jump up and grab that third or fourth spot. The expectation is that the Patriots are going to take Drake May at three. I think they'll be, from what it sounds like, somebody's going to have to blow him away, and then somebody will have to be simultaneously blown away by a guy like Drake May. Or there is, of course, the spot at four, which is currently occupied by the Arizona Cardinals, who do not need a quarterback, but they definitely need wide receivers. Mm-hmm. So will they take Maserati Marv, or will they accept any offers from, say, the Minnesota Vikings, who'd like to jump in and take J.J. McCarthy?
Don't do that, Minnesota.
At fourth overall. The same option exists at number five, where the Los Angeles San Diego Chargers currently sit. Remember, their new head coach, who likes himself a lot.
Yes.
Jim Harbaugh loves Jim Harbaugh, and he likes to put Jim Harbaugh stamps on things. So has he evaluated enough to say that Justin Herbert will be his guy going forward, or will they be willing and open to something else going on at that spot? I wonder. Or if they'll just take J.J. McCarthy themselves.
That would be insane, but Jim Harbaugh is insane.
Well, we know about Jim Harbaugh and J.J. McCarthy.
They love each other.
They are handshake meetings.
Yes.
So I wonder what happens there. There does seem to be this kind of the vibe, of course, that the Vikings are going to be the team to jump up and grab a guy like J.J. McCarthy. We'll see what happens in the first couple picks of this draft. But I'll say this about individual guys. I don't know what the current thought process is on Drake May. I think we either try to convince ourselves, you know, of or not of some guys, depending where they're being mocked in the draft, which is a totally asinine process to me. That's why I hate the pre-draft, the discourse and the pre-draft stuff.
It's all
dependent on where you think a guy is going to go, which is stupid. And then their expectations get tied to which pick they're picked at, when it really should just be tied to situational and how they are as players. But aside from all that, I would like to say that I generally like Drake May. I think I think Drake May generally has an opportunity to be a successful NFL player, and the Patriots, by potentially drafting him at number three, are making the right choice. Now, I have no idea about the apparatus around him. They don't seem to have any good players.
Yeah.
There is that piece of it as well. And we have no idea about their new coach, who is notably not Bill Belichick. Mm-hmm. So I say this understanding the risk of what may be coming forth, which is it may be a complete and total disaster, even if the quarterback is halfway decent.
I've always just kind of assumed that Drake May is the next in what we can now call a long line of North Carolina quarterbacks who, for one reason or another, do not pan out in the National Football League.
So you're against me?
On this issue, yes, we disagree.
On the issue of Drake May, Josh Hodson is not the father in this in this situation. Another guy that I really like is Malik Nabers, and we'll see what happens with him. We're talking about top 10 guys, basically, at this point, top of the draft dudes. On Dane Brugler's mock draft, he has Malik Nabers mocked to the Jets, who have traded with Atlanta to get up to 8. I mean, there's we also got into, like, mocking trades and stuff like that as well. There's no chance your mock draft is going to be right if you're mocking trades.
Too many mock trades this year.
A lot of mock trades
going
on.
You're fantasy booking the NFL draft, and just pick who's in line.
So here's my thing. We have Nabers, we have Maserati Marv at the top of what many say is a very, very deep wide receiver draft. By the way, offense, I mean, bigger picture, if you look at the mock drafts right now, there's going to be, 32 whatever first-round draft picks, and we're talking about 20-plus being offense at this point.
I can't think of the number one defender in the draft right now.
So I think we definitely noticed in the NFL last year how, I mean, first of all those quarterbacks got hurt. Offense was a little bit down. Defense seemed to rule the roost last year, and so we will see the appropriate reaction, I think, in this year's draft.
Have a lot of quarterbacks, deep wide receiver draft.
Yep.
This is apparently the best tackle draft ever. I don't know what that means, but
I feel like we say that every year. Yeah. Don't sleep on these offensive tackles. They're going to be franchise cornerstones. But at the top of the wide receiver part, you have Malik Nabers and Maserati Marv. If I had two beers in front of me right now and I chugged them and I was like, and then I just started talking to you like I was, at a party or something like that, and I was showing people the band name list on my phone, I would probably tell you that I kind of like Malik Nabers more than Maserati Marv.
Oh, okay.
But I have not had two beers yet.
Okay.
So
And then
that's how close I am.
You got
two beers away from it.
You got Rome from
Odunze
from Washington, who
I
think just because he's the third on that list and there's so many tackles and quarterbacks, he could fall to a place that is a pretty good situation for him. I don't know what the mocks have him at, but like
that, Mr. Odunze is mocked on Dane Brugler's mock draft to the Giants at six.
Speaking unfortunate.
Speaking of the Giants, okay, so one thing before we get to Padilla here. The Giants have an interesting conundrum. All right. So do you support Danny Dimes by taking one of said wide receivers, Malik Nabers, Romo Odunze, if Maserati Marv is still there? Or do you say, bleep it, jump into the quarterback race, overshoot on J.J. McCarthy, obviously, you know, or Penix.
Penix or Bo.
Or Penix, and say, we are starting over. We are out on Daniel Jones, and we're going on to the next
season. I think you'd know if he was good by now.
That is their conundrum. That is their conundrum, even though they have, you know, paid him a significant amount of money over the last several years as well. So all that stuff is going to be brewing up. It'll be fun to watch it unfold in like the first basically, you know, 2 minutes of the NFL draft tonight, which should be a lot of fun. All right, we'll have more on that as we go on throughout the show. We'll talk about Nebraska's role in it as well. What?
Very quickly, you can listen to the NFL draft tonight on 1180 The Zone.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
If you're
Josh
out and about this evening.
He's a company man, Josh Hodson, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back. We're at Oscar's Pizza and Sports Grill at 173rd and Center. Drop by, hang out with us for lunch. The Spring Game Roundtable is coming up in about an hour. But before that, we talk some hoops and more with Jay Padilla coming back on the Hamper Show on 1620 The Zone.